God's word is a person. You can develop a relationship with the word. The more you give yourself to the word, the more you find out it is God himself and it is life itself. The word will make you what it talks about. Listen to the anointed man of God, Reverend Tony Nwagu, a man with rare gift of revelation, making known tangibly the presence, the life, and the power of God by the word. Hear and be healed in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. The name of the Lord is exalted today. Amen. The name is higher than them all. All of them put together. All of your adversaries, all of your oppositions, the name is bigger. You found help today by the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. If you've come to the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Announce to her, him that Jesus is Lord. Glory. Jesus is Lord. Amen. So I said to you, be of good courage. There that be for you are bigger, far bigger. And there that be for them who are against you. Amen. So you are not losing, you're winning. I'm telling you, you're gaining more ground. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Your enemies are submitting to you. They are submitting to you. They are submitting to you. Amen. You're not just a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. To him that loved you. It's so clear that neither height nor depth, neither present nor future is able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. You've won all the way. All the way. Praise the Lord. I want to just share with you on something in the book of Romans. Chapter 5. Can we go to the book of Romans chapter 5? Romans chapter 5. Praise the Lord. So we're reading the book of Romans chapter 5. The focus is we're reading from 12 to 17. It's just going to be brief. I believe it's going to be brief. Romans chapter 5 from verse number 12 to 17. Now, when you believe in it, do you know it? If you don't know it, then we can't talk about accepting it. You needed to know it and then to accept it, then believe in it, and then you begin to realize it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He redeemed you from the conversation of your fathers. He redeemed you from the people of your tongue. He redeemed you from the curse of the law. Praise the Lord. Say amen. I wish I could just go on and talk to you more about the content of your redemption. If he redeemed you from the curse of the law, then obviously he would have delivered you from the law. Because if you're still in the law, then you will enact again, reenact again. The curse of the law. So, but if you're not in the law, where are you? So you needed to know where you are. Praise the Lord. There's something that has replaced the curse. There's something that has replaced the law. And there's something that has replaced. Amen to the Lord Jesus. Replace sin. Because if he delivered you from the law, then sure he would have delivered you from sin. Amen. The knowledge of sin comes by the law. Okay, but that's not what I'm talking about this morning. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 5. Let's read from verse number 12. One, two, go. Everybody read with me. Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have, verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come? Verse 15. But not as the offense is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. Verse 16. Are you reading with me? Let's read verse 16 together. By one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So I want to talk to you this morning about the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. So what are we talking about this morning? The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Okay, so say it again. Can I have you say it again loud and clear? Say praise the Lord. Say it again. Okay, this is the foundation to this. In the old covenant, when there is a transgression, it is required that you come with a lamb for sacrifice. Are you hearing me? Now, the lamb for sacrifice will bear the transgression of the people. Amen. So that is why at a particular time, every family is required to appear or report in Shiloh. Shiloh is the place where the name of the Lord is named. How many of you remember Samuel, the priest, the prophet of Israel? Samuel the prophet. Amen. You notice Samuel the priest and the prophet. You notice that when he was born, the mother was barren for so many years. And then the mother came to Shiloh at a particular time when the family came for sacrifice. And the mother refused to eat and was crying. And the prophet Eli came to the mother and said, "Why are you crying?" Because she was muttering. And the prophet thought that she was actually, you know, acting up because she got drunk. And then, so the prophet was asking, why are you doing this? Why are you drunk? So the woman said, "No, I'm not drunk." Amen. But she was weeping and was crying because she didn't have a son. She didn't have a child. And then the man of God told her, according to the order of life, by this time next year, you will have a baby. Praise the Lord. And the woman conceived and bare a baby. His name was called Samuel. And at the particular age, he took the baby back to Shiloh. And then he wanted to give that baby to God, because that was the vow she made to God. If you give me a child, I will bring him back to you. Praise the Lord. And so when he brought the child, he said, "I've come to perform and fulfill the vow that I made to you." And then Samuel began to live in the temple. Hallelujah. That was the birth of Samuel. He was born, the mother conceived on the ground of the Day of Atonement, the day they came to sacrifice a lamb for the sin of the people. Are you listening to me? Say praise the Lord. So in Israel, the old covenant, when there is a sacrifice of a lamb, they will put their hand on the lamb and they will slaughter the lamb. But before they slaughter the lamb, with their hand on top of the head of the lamb, they will ask you to confess your sin. So when you confess your sins, after all of your sins, the ones you know are confessed, then they will slaughter the lamb. Praise the name of the Lord. And then the blood of the lamb will atone for the transgression that you have committed. So the blood covers the sin. Amen. And then you will go free.
the charge will not be laid against you. Amen. And now your business will prosper. And now your marriage will prosper. And now things will work for you because of the sacrifice of the blood of the Lamb. Are you listening to me? But again, you are required to come back again. So you do it yearly. Are you hearing me? Every year you will slaughter the lamb. You come to the place of sacrifice. You come back to Shiloh and slaughter a lamb. Are you listening to me? So there is a continuous remembrance of transgression. Are you hearing me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So each time the lamb is slaughtered, you have a clean slate for the next year, for the rest of the year. Amen. And whatever you do will be charged to the blood of the lamb. Amen. Actually, whatever you have done is charged to the blood of the lamb. And then the next year you come back and do the same. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the question is, why do you keep going back to sin? Amen. The consequences is taken care of by the blood of the lamb. But the nature was never touched and never tampered with. That is why you keep going back to sin. Do you understand that? The thing making you to sin was not removed. But the judgment of what you do was given to the lamb. Do you understand? So you are free to function and prosper. But then you need to come back another year for another lamb to be slaughtered for you. Praise the Lord. Because the nature was not touched. So it keeps going back. You keep going back again and again to sin. That was the case with the old covenant. Do you understand? Are you hearing me? That was the story of the old covenant. But in the new covenant, there is a new story. Say, praise the name of the Lord. Now, look at what happened. On the account of your sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Just like the lamb was slaughtered and the blood covered your sin. Amen. And then you had the grace of life. Say with me, the grace of life. The grace of life was seen in your prosperity. The grace of life was seen in your protection. The grace of life was seen in what you do for your living. And you were doing well. You're doing and going well. The grace of life is seen in your academics. But next year you require to come back. And when you come back, they will kill another lamb. And then by the blood of the lamb, you will have another grace of life. Praise the Lord. That was the operation in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, look at what God did. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at what God did. He took your sins, all of your sins, and he laid it on the body of Jesus. And then Jesus died in your place. And then his blood was shed on the cross of Calvary. Are you hearing me? Now, when that was done, God gave you an abundance of grace. Amen. You remember the grace they had in the old covenant? They needed to repeat. They needed it exhausts after a year and they need to get a fresh one. And that was why the lamb has to be slaughtered again. Do you understand that? So each time, every year, it has to be slaughtered so that they can get a fresh grace. Amen. Are you listening to me? All right. But in the new covenant, there's not going to be a repeat of the slaughtering of the lamb. Amen. God allowed one sacrifice to be done. And that was the sacrifice of his son. The sacrifice of Jesus. And when Jesus was sacrificed, he was sacrificed for you. And his blood shed and flowed upon the earth. Say amen. Amen. Now that blood is higher than the blood of any lamb. That blood is higher than the blood of all the lambs put together. And then that blood is higher than the blood of a human being. That is the blood of the Son of God. It was sinless. It was spotless. There was no wrinkle about it. Your blood has sin in it. My blood has sin in it. But his own has no sin. So his was a precious blood. Amen. So the payment for sin was more than enough by his blood. The payment for sin by his blood was more than enough. Are you listening to me? So what it gave you, because it was more than enough, what it gave you was not just grace. It gave you abundance of grace. Everybody say with me, abundance of grace. Say it again. Say it again. That's what that blood gave you. It gave you abundance of grace. Now, the word abundance of grace is actually grace that is more than enough. Grace that is bigger than your life. Grace that is bigger than all of your life put together. Say abundance of grace. Grace that is more than my life. Grace that is bigger than my life. Grace that is bigger and richer than everything I will ever do wrong. It's abundance of grace. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say it again. Say it again. Let me read some scriptures for you. Go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah. Let's read from verse 5. Are you here? I'd like you to participate. Please, everybody participate. We're reading Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 5. Everybody, are you here? Let's all participate. One, two, go. Read, everybody, one, two, go. When he cometh into the world, that is talking about who? Jesus. Who is coming into the world here? Jesus. Okay, he's talking about Jesus. So let it go, right? Let it go again. One, two, go. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. That was who? Who is talking here? Jesus. Okay, let's read the next verse, verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Okay, let's read verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of a book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Okay, who is talking? Who is talking? Okay, verse number 8, let it go right now. Above, when he said, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Let's read verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the force that he may establish. Verse 10. By the which will we are, through the offering, once, how many times? For all time. One sacrifice for all time. Why? The preciousness of it. The preciousness of it. Hallelujah! It's bigger than this world. It's bigger than this world. It covers reaching further to the world to come and exceeds it. Glory! The precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus. Okay, let's read verse 11. Verse 11. One, two, go. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes. How many times? How many times? The same which can never. Verse number 12. But this man. Everybody read it with me. But this man. Come on, read it with me. But this man. Who? Which man? Shout his name. Do it like a believer. Do it like a believer. After he had offered how many sacrifices? One. How many sacrifices? Come on, are you here? Are you here now? How many sacrifices? How many times? For sins. Forever. Sat down at the right hand of. Let's give him a clap offering. Let's give Jesus and bless his name. Bless his name. Do you understand that? So he has taken charge and taken care of sin by the sacrifice of himself. Do you understand that? Say praise the Lord. Say it again. That's why it was an abundance of grace. Say abundance of grace. Say with me, I have the abundance of grace. So it took care of the act of sin. What does abundance of grace take care of? The act of sin. Say with me, act. Say it again, act. The act of sin. But it didn't handle the nature. So he needed to take care of the nature. Do you understand? What makes you do what you do is the nature that you have. Do you understand? So the act is your actions. But the nature is the root of your actions. You can't act like a goat. Are you one? Why are you not? There's a difference in nature between who you are and who a goat is. So you can act like one. Do you act like a monkey? Why won't you? There's a difference in nature. What makes the monkey act the way he acts is nature. What makes you act the way you do? Your nature. Now, what God did by Christ Jesus, he took care of the acts. But the remaining, the nature. Now, the nature that makes you live in sin is called self-righteousness. What's the nature that makes you live in sin called? Everybody say it again. Everybody say it again. Now, self-righteousness has two faces. It has a face of approval and it has a face of condemnation. And in the face of approval, it makes you pompous. It makes you proud. It makes you have a feeling of elation, a feeling of acceptance, a feeling of approval, a feeling of justification. Do you understand? Come on, talk to me. Did you hear me? All right. It's just like when you and somebody commit offense. Hello, are you here? Say praise the Lord. Say praise the Lord. We're talking about the faces of self-righteousness. How many faces does he have? The first one is what? Approval. And the next one is what? All right. Say praise the Lord. Everybody say praise the Lord. Say like a believer. All right, two of you, come out here. You and you, come out. Come out. Come out fast. Come out fast. Come out fast. Praise the Lord. Is there somebody that can be faster than he is? Okay. These two people were caught, you know, in an offense. Come closer so that the people will see you well. They were fighting over something. So we now came to intervene. And then I asked him, what is the matter? He tells me. I asked him, what is the matter? He tells me. And I began to judge it. And when I analyzed it, I found out that this one is free, was right. Then this one was wrong. This one will now say to him, but I told you. He's now telling him, I told you that I was right. And then immediately this one was justified that he was right. You know how he will feel? He will just feel good. You know, there's a feeling, even if you don't explain it, even if we don't touch it, even if we don't analyze it, but on his inside, there's just something. At least I'm not like him. I'm not like this one. I do my best. I just do my best. I make sure I satisfy my conscience. Even work, I come early. As I'm in work, I do my job. I don't entertain nonsense. Now, that could be your quality, but that's why you're doing it. But the day we find out why you're doing it is the day they gave you an approval. You smile. And then, I know that I deserve it now. Even all the people know that it's me that deserve it. Now, all the while, what you're saying has been what is in you. But you're saying it today because you've been given. Do you understand that? But this one that was wrong will be feeling ashamed. Each of them is the same thing working. What is that working? Self-righteousness. He has a face of approval. And he has a face of self-condemnation. So if you trust it, you can smile today and cry tomorrow. You don't understand. If you're clapping, clap away if you catch what I'm saying. So it's not reliable. It's not something you should work with. So the problem with the nature of self-righteousness, if it will always take you back to sin. Even if it gives you a relief today, it will take you there tomorrow. So you don't have to live by that. So look at what Jesus did. When he gave you abundance of grace to take care of the action, then he took his own righteousness and gave to you as a gift. So what do you have now? The gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace. Now that has freed you from you. No, it freed you from you. And then he freed you from the world. And he freed you from the devil. So that the gift, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness has done what? From you. And freed you from who again? And then freed you from what again? Also say praise the Lord. So the gift, abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness has delivered you from sin. Say amen. Everybody say amen. Now look at the problem. You have not accepted it. You know why? You're still in your works. You have not known it. So you have not accepted it. Because you're still in your works. So each time I say abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you say, amen, amen. That's good. But you don't have it. What I mean, you are not there. You have not received it. Because you can't fathom it. Are you listening to me? Okay, look at the difference. The difference is, say amen. The more you see him, the more you accept it. The more you're blinded to him, the more you remain in your works. The more you hear of it, but you don't ever receive it. Did you get that? It means that, you know, before you have works, now you have him. Now look at this. Amen. Say amen again. If I begin to present him to you and present him to you and you begin to see him, then daily, you have to behold him. You have to receive him. You have to make your life be as it becometh the gospel. The more and more that you behold and see him, the more you accept the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. That's why he said, for by one man, let's read verse 17. Everybody, Romans chapter number 5, verse 17. Everybody read with me. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 17. Let's see. Well, what is important today is that you are realizing, getting to know, getting to appreciate, embrace that you have abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. That's key. We're getting to know that we have abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Then the next factor is getting you to leave you and get into him. Glory! So because it's difficult to get you to live into you. It's just like I got a new house for you. Okay, so I moved. I got a truck. I moved all your loads. And then when I moved all your loads, when I was moving your loads, you were helping to pack the loads. I was the driver of that truck. And then we had some other people helping us. We're packing. You're packing. You two, you're joining us to pack. And we finished packing. We went the first trip, offloaded to the new house. Second trip, we offloaded to the new house. And by the time we came back, you're still on your pajamas. And we're asking you, how far now? Are you not going to... You say, no, I've not taken my bath. We say, okay, we'll wait for you to take your bath. You took your bath. And then we say, how far now? You say, no, I need to take some breakfast. No seat in the house. But you want to sit on the floor and then take some breakfast. And then you finish. I say, we now waited a while. You're still not coming. We say, how far now? You say, I'm coming. You push, you give me a while, I'm coming. What's wrong with you? But you have left. You have physically left. But there's something remaining. Now, finally, you come. That's somebody going to enter the car to move. Oh, he's walking. Auntie, how far now? He said, where they go now? Where they go? I open the truck, the door of the truck, the front seat. Please help me, help me. Do you really need help? Something is working on you. And then finally, we begin to move the truck, and the truck is moving. The truck is moving. Hey, hey, Gladys! Hey, Mr. And then you're just greeting everybody, and then the truck is moving. And sometimes you're not talking, but you're just a little bit depressed. And the truck is moving. The driver is not minding that you're depressed. Even though you're not talking, he's moving his truck. And he takes you to the new apartment to come down our holla. But finally, the last load was taken, and then you're in the new apartment. Physically, you're out. But in your mind, you're still in the new old house. So it becomes the problem. Do you know the problem now? The problem we have now in our hand is bigger than the problem we had to pack the loads. You catch the point? It was bigger than the problem we had even to move you. We had to wait for you for breakfast. Wait for you to take your bath. Wait, do we need to do that? You're supposed to be the first one ready. And immediately the truck is on. You run and enter. And move. But now there's a bigger problem. And that is, the mind is still there. The body has moved, but the mind is still in the old place. So when we're talking about abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you just nod your head. And praise God. Amen. Amen. But you're not there. when he begins. That's why the Bible says. Can we read it? Everybody read, read, read. Much more. Let me have you say much more. Say it again, much more. There which abundance of grace and shall reign by who? By who? By who? That's the effectiveness of it. It's as he is enthroned. It's as he is exalted. As you begin to see him, then that gift comes alive in you. Or else, you will remain bodily absent, but present in your mind, in the old house. What he has done is wholesome. What he has done is complete. What he has done has no wrinkle and stain. It's done with all prudence, and it's done with the completeness of his wisdom. All of his wisdom put together, it's a masterpiece. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Come on, are you listening to me? Say, I have abundance of grace. Everybody say, I have abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Say it again, I have abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Now look at the difference. You know, it's supposed that this means license to sin. So somebody said, are you giving me license to sin? No, that's not license to sin. That's victory over sin. So, but why is it that you still remain in sin? Because you've not accepted it. You've heard about it, but you've not accepted it. Why have you not accepted it? You've moved house, but you're still in the sin and the horizon of the old apartment. The new scenario, you've never captured it. The new horizon, you've never received it. You're still in the old apartment. Say praise the Lord. Say like a believer. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a victory. Say with me, what a victory. Say it again like you believe it. What a victory. What a victory. This is untold. This is untold. Unfathomable. What a victory. My God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Abundance of grace. I have abundance of grace. The abundance of grace. And the gift of righteousness. How is it known? Say by him. Say it again. How is it known? Say by him. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Do you understand that? Do you capture that? Are you here? Here is Lady Blessing. Lady Blessing, just stand. I love you, sweetheart. And then I paid for her accommodation. Are you listening to me? I bought her a brand new car. Are you still there? And I paid all her school fees. Every detail of it. Are you still there? And I changed her name to my name. When Lady Blessing is going, and you call her Blessing, do you think she will look back? But when you call Blessing and name my name, guess what? Because who she is now is by me. Immediately I begin to diminish before her and to her. And I'm no longer. Now the background is, she begins to lose sight of everything that she has by me. So if the more I'm magnified to her, the more she has a grip on the things that I have made available to her. What do you have now? Sit down, sweetheart. What do you have now? Come on, talk to me. What do you have now? The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Talk to me. What do you have now? How does it work? By him. By him. By one. And who is that one? And it has to be only by one. That one is not to be combined. Not to be surcharged. You receive? You receive? It's absolute victory. Everybody say with me, absolute victory. Say overwhelming. Victory. Say like a believer. It's overwhelming victory. You're here this morning? You're here? Say Jesus. Let's shout his name. Thank you, Father. His name is higher than them all. It's higher than them all. You catch it now? It's higher than them all. Praise the Lord.
Experience something different, strong and powerful every Sunday, 9 a.m. main service, Monday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting, Wednesday, 6 p.m. believers meeting at Here's a Better Things Church, 5 Odo Street by Stadium Link Road, Romola, Port Harcourt. For these and other messages of the man of God, Reverend Tony Nwagu, please call +234-9099-251-775 or you can call +234-9099-043-977. Remain blessed.